Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Doviak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Doviak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some interesting topics today. First, we're going to talk about how the market is doing and how some of the recent purchase numbers may be representative of people expecting problems later. Then we're going to look at some legislation that has been signed that rolls back some cryptocurrency reporting requirements. In the Plan Your Prosperity segment, I'm going to talk about what to do if you lose your job. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy segment, as I've been doing recently, I'm going to go ahead and talk about next steps. And specifically, if you're worried about things to look at that might help you decide whether or not things are as bad as they look, because the market can be very volatile, but looking at the bond market could be much more interesting. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. This is for the week ending April 18th, 2025. I am taping this on Monday, April 21st, 2025, and I'm starting to tape about 11 o'clock in the morning Central Daylight Time, just to help give you a context, because last week things were looking pretty good. There were some concerns, but then this week the market is down again this morning, and we'll just kind of have to wait and see where we go from here. But last week, the Dow was down 1.14% for the week, while the S&P 500 was actually up just a little more than 0.25%. So the S&P 500 went up last week. The NASDAQ went down about 0.6%. Gold was up 3.83%. And oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price, was up 3.67%. And as of Friday, it was $63.80 a barrel. The dollar was down almost 1%. The 10-year Treasury yield was down 13.8%, which means the ETF Aggregate Bond Index, AGG, was up about 0.75%. And Bitcoin was up about 2.5%. The VIX was down 27.19% for the week. Remember, the VIX is the volatility index, and it tells you how worried people are. You can also see that people were a little less worried because they had the 10-year Treasury yield down 13.8%, which it had just gone up so much. That's why that kind of a decrease sounds really extraordinary, but not as much as you might originally think. And right now, the 10-year yield is 4.358%, if I forgot to tell you that. So a lot of the issues going on right now, again, are tariffs and what's being included and what's being excluded, and how do you handle sometimes the cost of the goods that go into the product, even if the product itself is exempt. So it's really complicated. It's really murky. This is why the markets have been so much on edge. There was a very high, economic activity was artificially high, according to a number of analysts last week. So what it means, if you're looking at it on the surface, is people went out and they bought stuff. They bought all kinds of stuff. And on the surface, in most economic environments, that would be a really good sign, right? Because people feel confident and they're spending money and all of these things. You don't have to be an economist to know that they just sound really good. The concern is that people are stocking up now because they're afraid prices are going to go up later. I have anecdotal evidence of that. I have a lot of friends, if they were looking to get a new laptop or a new tablet or a new phone, they're going ahead and making those purchases today rather than waiting until the stock that's coming in has the tariffs attached to it. Now, there is some talk that the electronics from China are not going to have tariffs associated with them. So that would make the preemptive buying of laptops and tablets possibly premature if, in fact, the tariffs don't hit. But here is honestly the very best advice I think I can give you. Now, this isn't investment advice, okay? We are not talking about stocks and bonds or anything like that. What I am going to say is, if you were planning on making a purchase anyway, buying it earlier so that you have less impact from the tariffs might make a lot of sense. I know some people who are buying things that they didn't really need, but this became a good excuse. So the way you can get yourself into financial trouble is by buying stuff you don't need, right? So if you don't need it, don't buy it. And then if the item breaks after the tariffs go into effect, that's fine. But it's very easy to spend yourself into a hole. Now, if it's something you are going to buy anyway, maybe buying it earlier rather than later makes more sense. And because at this point, I honestly don't have any idea how the tariffs are going to land. Neither does the Fed share. He said as much last week, which again kind of sent the markets into a tailspin. Because if anyone should be able to decipher the economics, it should be the Federal Reserve. The problem is these aren't particularly based on policy. They're very political, and that makes anticipating the next movements really impossible. If somebody tells you they know what's going to happen, I really don't believe that they do. Because I've been listening to the smartest minds that I can find. They don't understand it. I don't understand it. So just act with caution. So if you're going to buy it and you've got the money, it might make sense to do it. I'm not telling you necessarily to do it, but I can certainly understand why. What I don't want to have happen is for people to get into trouble and to overspend. There were additional criticisms of the Fed chair today. The other thing that caused the market to get odd was when the president said that he was wanting to replace the Fed chair. The Fed chair serves an appointed term and the president can't fire him. Those are the laws. The president absolutely cannot fire him. And it looks like there's more of a Truth Social attack going on at this point. The Fed chair, Jerome Powell, has flat out said he's going nowhere until his term ends next year. So if the president were to try to fire the Fed chair, every voice that I'm hearing is saying it would be economically disastrous because the United States has always been the safe haven. We are the world's reserve currency for a reason. People purchase U.S. treasuries in times of stress for a reason. And if all of our economic policy becomes political rather than economically based, it would cause some big issues. And as a teaser for the last section of the show, I'm going to talk to you a little bit more about how you can decipher what's going on by looking at interest rates.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about some legislation that was signed by President Trump that blocks an IRS rule that would have forced certain cryptocurrency brokers, so the people who make the market in cryptocurrency, to provide tax information on the transactions. So to try to put that into a little bit of English, what that means is how if you own a mutual fund and it issues a dividend, it's not up to you to issue the dividend. The company that holds it issues the dividend, reports it to the IRS on a 1099 DIV, D-I-V for dividend, and then you get a copy of the 1099 DIV, and you'd better report it because the IRS also already knows it's there. Well, there was a rule that was a rule proposed by Biden that went into effect with the IRS last year. So it was more of an executive order than it was something that was passed by the House and the Senate, that all cryptocurrency transactions would need to have that same kind of legislation attached to them. So if you buy crypto at a price and you sell it at another price, you would get a tax document that would also go to the IRS that would show how much money you made. So they killed this on a technicality. First, it happened at the very end of the Biden administration, which gives Congress more power to overturn things because, you know, basically someone passes a law as they're going out the door and that Congress doesn't have time so the next Congress can address it, which this Congress did. And there was bipartisan support for rolling it back. So this isn't actually a Republican thing or a Democrat thing. There were actually people in both parties who passed it, and then it was signed by Trump. So a lot of the transactions are not going to be released. They got this technicality because a lot of cryptocurrency transactions actually occur electronically only. So now I'm going to have to just give you some terminology here, and I'm going to tell you right off the bat, I don't completely understand it myself. But there is apparently a blockchain technology that links buyers and sellers. And when you're using that technology, there isn't even a broker in the loosest word associated with it. Now, don't think for a minute that the stock market works like it did 150 years ago, where there's just people out there making a market. There are some markets that work like that, but most these days, everything happens on a computer. The NASDAQ was one of the earliest platforms to use technology to broker buys and sells. But there were still companies behind it, individuals behind it, people making sure that the market was orderly and regulated. And apparently somehow using this blockchain technology, there isn't a person in the middle, which strikes me scary all by itself because we know what can happen. There's a whole reason why brokers broker the market and try to keep it regulated. So if there is no broker, it seems to me, my opinion only. So, I mean, you usually know what I think, but I'm just telling you right now, I am flat out offering opinions. It seems risky. It seems like you want somebody in there who can do something if, for example, there's a flash crash or if the technology fails. I think there should always be someone, even just behind the scenes, making sure that there's an orderly market. That person would, by default, be the broker. Apparently, there's not, because that's their technicality. Is they're saying these are not brokered events. And because they're not brokered events, they don't have to be reported to the IRS. Now, I have issues getting from point B to point C. Again, I am offering you my opinion. But anything that is being transacted on blockchain technology, the gains and losses are not going to be reported to the IRS directly. I guess the people who make the profits and the losses are supposed to report them themselves, which you should do because anytime you make money, you need to report it to the IRS. Or if you lose money, you need to report it to the IRS. But this lack of oversight is going to cause lots of lost revenue. There was a congressional tax scorekeeper said that $4 billion in taxes aren't going to be collected over the course of a decade. So now understand, I said 10 years. So every year would be 0.4 billion, which is a lot of money. It's a lot of lost revenue. And remember, taxes go to fix our roads and bridges and keep us safe and fund the military and do many, many things that we need them to do. It is, however, a real win for people who are doing lots and lots of transactions in these different cryptocurrencies, because now it's going to be up to them to independently report. So why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because, as with all other rules around what's going on right now, I believe that everything is subject to change and reversal on very short order. Now, this one will be harder to overturn. I understand that. But if I were trading in Bitcoin or any other crypto, which, by the way, I don't. I don't own any. I don't want it. But if I were, I would keep the tax records and I would report the income, because that data is somewhere and it's out there. And I would want to be able to prove that I had paid the tax that I owed. It's not actually eliminating your tax liability. It's eliminating the automatic reporting, which means that if they can go back and track those records, they can see whether or not you reported the correct amount. So you need to report the correct amount, even if you're not a big player. And I would start keeping records of my buys and my sells and my profits and my losses. I would take screenshots. I would have things that would back it up. So if this ever becomes an issue down the road, you've got the data to back yourself up with. I would pay the tax I owed. I mean, that's not advice. That's just the law. You're supposed to do that. But no doubt this new legislation is going to make people's better angels have to cause them to act in certain ways. But be careful, because that data is still there. And if the law changed and you had chosen to drastically underreport, it could cause you some trouble.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I wanted to talk about some tips if you lose your job. There were some more layoffs announced over the weekend. There are a lot of government employees who have lost their jobs. And if the tariffs go into effect, and if there's inflation, and if the market is bad, unemployment will go up. I mean, that's just how the economy works. So add that to the fact that, you know, just generally there are people who could use some advice as to what to do if they lose your job. I just wanted to talk about that today. So remember that social media lives forever. You don't want to badmouth your employer in public, because those posts will last forever. I'm not telling you not to say truly what has happened in certain situations, but try to imagine how you would feel if you read your post as the headline of the biggest newspaper or wherever you get your news from site. And if you read the words that you put in the post, would you be okay with that? And if the answer is no, then you want to go back in and modify words. There's no need to curse. It won't accomplish anything. You're very capable of saying what happened and using other words. You just want to be sure that what you put into any sort of a post is something that you don't mind if your next employer, or maybe even the same employer, reads it in the future. If you're looking for a new job, resumes are very different than they were when I created my first resume. And you want to focus your resume towards the job you're seeking, which means you might actually have 3 or 4 different resumes that all included things you had done, but focused on different areas, depending on the job you were trying to get. I would recommend going onto some career websites and look and see how new resumes are written before you jump in and do something like I would have done when I was 21, 38 years ago. So you don't want to do that. You also don't want to turn down a good job waiting for a great job. It's okay to take a job even if you're not thinking you're going to stay there forever. Now, I might not necessarily say that in the interview, and if it's a job where they're going to be putting a lot of money into you as an employee, you want to do the ethical thing. And I'm not going to say what that is, but it is something you need to consider about. The bigger the investment of the new employer, the more you might want to think if you take a job if you know that you're only going to keep this job for 6 months to a year. On top of that, you may need to learn some new skills. I talk to people all the time who are about my age, and they say, I'm never going to learn anything else. I also have friends who are always looking to learn the next thing. And I will tell you anecdotally, those people that I know who are curious and interested and want to learn are more engaging, they're healthier, they're more active. And if you're trying to change your life and you're older than your 20s, it's really important that you embrace that change and not be afraid to learn new things and not think, well, I've never done it this way, so I never want to have to do it this way again. That's not healthy, and it won't bode well in your new position, because no matter what job you get, there'll be lots of differences from the old job to the new job. You want to talk to people that you have to pay monthly, because when you lose your job, sometimes it takes a while for unemployment benefits to kick in. And by the way, if you get fired, applying for unemployment is critical. But it can take extended periods of time. There's always a waiting period. And here's a tricky thing that relates today more than I wish it did. You get unemployment when you are fired without cause. That means you did nothing wrong. They just fired people. It's usually like a reduction in force or something like that. One of the problems that's happening right now is people are being told they didn't do a good job, that they're fired for not doing their job. That becomes cause. Now, I know the lane I always need to stay in this show, and I will tell you this seems like a legal issue to me. So you need to find an attorney who works with these things. You need to talk to unemployment. You need to find out how you handle it if you were fired for a cause and what sort of remediation you might be able to get. Because it can be pretty awkward to get unemployment when you're fired for cause. So try to work that out. Try to make it work. For those people you owe the money to, let them know you've lost your job. Don't just not pay your bills. That will get you in trouble. Many, many people will work with you if you just tell them what happened. And above all, you don't want to let depression just sink you down. I cannot imagine how devastating it is to people who have done great work for decades, who either because, you know, they're having to cut jobs because the work isn't there, or they've lost their jobs through some of the cuts that have happened within the government. Depression would be very, very easy to fall into. So you need to do things that will help you with that. You need to eat real food. Okay, so real food is not Doritos and sour cream dip. You can have a little, but you need to eat fruits and vegetables and real meat and try to get some unprocessed food into your diet because you will feel better. You need to drink enough water. You need to exercise. Take the dog for a walk. If you don't have a dog, take the neighbor's dog for a walk, but you need to get out and burn off some of that stress somehow so that you feel better. Find support groups of people who are going through what you're going through, but don't let those support groups make you more depressed than you were in the first place. So really take care of yourself. Look for things that'll help you lower your stress, and you can't give up. You absolutely cannot give up. You've got to get out there. You've got to look for something. if your job is in limbo right now, then start putting out some feelers. You know, you might go onto LinkedIn and say, hey, just curious, you know, anybody have something in X, Y, or Z field? Because it's really awkward right now and it's really complicated right now. And I'm sorry you're dealing with this. And I really, really hope things get better soon.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And yet again, the only question I'm getting right now is, Peggy, what should I do? And I will continue to say, as I've been answering, you don't want to overreact. Okay, you don't want to do something out of fear or desperation. Everything needs to stay measured. Because remember, some of this could fix just simply on a dime. Now, it will be more problematic if the Fed chair gets fired. But as I said in the first segment, the Fed chair has already said he isn't going to leave. So it'll get interesting and it will cause issues. But I'm seeing people overreacting. Not everyone. Doesn't mean you shouldn't pay attention. You just want to be careful. You want to file your taxes as soon as you can, and you want to keep a paper copy of the return or an electronic copy of the return that you store, maybe in the cloud, but also not in the cloud. And that way, if there's ever a question as to whether or not you filed your tax return, you've got the information and you have the information that you put onto the return. I am assuming you kept all the documentation that you used to fill out the return. You want to make sure that you keep that as well. Now, here is something that I can give you to watch. And as things are getting particularly strange, it's very important to not only track the stock market, which just loses its mind right now on a regular basis, but to also track the bond market. Remember in the first segment, I said that there's always been a flight to safety in U.S. bonds. And what that means is that people knew that U.S., especially treasuries, are safe. And so people invest in treasuries when things are going badly because they know their money is safe. Well, you can tell how safe people think U.S. treasuries are by looking at the interest rate. So you want to look at the interest rate of maybe like the 10-year treasury and see if it's going up or see if it's going down. Because if the interest rate on the 10-year treasury is going up, and the Fed hasn't taken any action, it means that people are requiring more money, more interest to buy that 10-year treasury. If the interest rates are going down, you know that people think the treasury is safe and secure and a good investment. And so you can follow the stock market, but the bond market is really where you're going to be able to see how stressed the market is. As interest rates drop, your bond funds are likely to go up in value. As interest rates go up, your bond funds are likely to go down in value. But I would simply make my life easy by tracking the 10-year treasury, tracking its rate, and getting a sense as to what the market thinks is going to happen next.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.